The sudden death has been announced in Accra of President John Evans Atta Mills. President Mills died this afternoon at the 37 Military Hospital. A statement signed by the Chief of Staff John Henry Martin Newman said the President died while receiving medical attention after being taken ill a few hours earlier. It said the Vice President John Dramani Mahama will broadcast to the nation in due course. We have the President of the Christian Council, Reverend Dr. Fred Digby, talking to us. Welcome, Reverend.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Reverend. I know that this news has really come to you as a shock. How do you think that this is going to affect the nation, the Christian community, and in other ways you think the death can affect the nation?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share with the nation how we feel as a person and as a council, because I was with my chairman when we heard the news. We were taken aback by shock and grief, because we had all heard the news that the president wasn't well. He went for a checkup, he came back, and even I would say he was even very sportly and athletic, saying that he's well. So all of a sudden, out of the blues, to hear this news took us by shock and profound sadness. So we extend our condolences to the wife, to their family, to the cabinet, and indeed to all of us as Ghanaians, because he's the father of the nation. And we have never gone this way before as a nation. We heard about other nations that have gone through. We know that as far as he's concerned, he's always professed his faith, his confidence in the Lord. So we know he's resting in the Lord and he will continue to rest in peace. The rest has to be managed carefully and properly. Our constitution makes adequate provision for the nation to move on. So I believe right about this time, the Vice President will be sworn in as the President. President, in fact, I'm a little confused. I don't even know what the title will be, but the Vice President will be sworn in. And we call on all Ghanaians to pull up our nation and support one another to let life go on, so that indeed we can go through this period of grief and go on to move as people who are all Ghanaians. We should be praying for the Vice President, praying for the Cabinet, praying for all the processes that are going on in this country, so that God's hand of grace and mercy will rest on all of us. And wish all Ghanaians, we extend our condolences to all of us as Ghanaians, and pray for God's grace and mercy, and wherever this news is shared, we all know that God is the one who controls our times and our lives, and it is in Him alone that we live and move and have our being.
Reverend Dr. Digby?
Yes.
You know, there have been different reactions. People have said all sorts of things, and some people believe that the Christian community should have prayed harder for the president. What do you think about this?
Well, as I said, God has His own appointed time. I do not think that we didn't pray. We prayed. People prayed. People have been praying and fasting for the president. If you know anything about the president, I think he has shared publicly his belief in prayer. And there are people around him who evidently pray around the clock. You see, when things happen, people say all kinds of things that they want to say. But when we read the Bible, we know that even the Lord Jesus Christ who came, He prayed, "Lord, if it is your will, let this cup pass, but not my will, let your will be done." So we pray, we intercede, but God is sovereign. God is the King. And what He decides is what He's done. To Him alone be glory. So this is where human beings, we should be careful about announcements we make without any basis when things happen. Because we may be treading in territories onto areas that we have no idea about. Nobody is immortal. It is only God who knows the plans that he has for us. And to him alone be glory. It's a time for sober reflection, not for all kinds of speculations which we as Ghanaians are used to doing. In our customs, in our traditions, when somebody passes on, we are sober, we reflect. And that's all thing that we want to carry our politicking and division to this area. None of us. We are all instruments that God can use. And therefore, to him alone be glory. And I would say, let us be sober and thank God, but we must be responsible for our lives and ask for his grace for our lives as a people and as a nation to move on according to what his plan for our this nation is.
Reverend Doctor, sometimes we learn from our mistakes, and some have also said that the negative confessions of some Christians and non-Christians alike, we've been hearing you preaching to us on negative confession. And what role do you think this played?
As I'm saying, yes, it's true. Words are powerful. Words can change things. I do not think there's any word that can change mind in the will of God. I do not think that God makes mistakes. When he puts somebody in office, by all means, that person, leaders make mistakes, leaders receive criticisms, leaders do all of these things. But God has a way of keeping his people. I do not think that it is only in Ghana that negative confessions are made. If it's true, then nobody will be alive. There are countries now that are in serious turmoil, where their presidents and heads of state have climbed to power. Gaddafi stayed in power, Syria is in power. There are other countries in the world where their heads of state and all these people have received negative confessions all over, but they are still alive. So if we see the things from the small, the myopic point of view, we can jump at any conclusion. When we look at things globally, we must know that there's a God who reigns and rules in the affairs of men. Sure, there's a place for confession, positive confession, but I do not believe that our negative confessions can cut short what God has destined to happen. His will is sovereign. So give him the glory for that.
Thank you very much, Reverend Doctor. Thank you. We have Yvonne, our correspondent, Yvonne Atilego here. She was at 37 where the event took place, and she's going to tell us what she saw. Yvonne, how was the mood at 37?
I must say that when we got there first, we were not allowed to enter into the premises with the news car. Because there was heavy security outside, so we had to park at the bus stop. Then we walked in. There were a lot of people trooping in, just to maybe catch a glimpse. I don't know, but they just wanted to confirm that really the president is dead. So we got inside. Then we walked straight to the mortuary area where a lot of people had gathered. There were heavy security in there, and even I tried to talk to some people to get their reaction, but I was warned by one security man to put my gadget away. And the media were also there in their numbers, and those from TV were prevented from taking shots of any other thing. Apart from that, most people too were wailing, they were weeping, crying out the president's name, and that was that.
Do you speak to any doctor who might have confirmed that the president was really, really dead?
Okay, what I tried doing was I wanted to speak to one of the workers, but they declined talking. They didn't want to talk about it. Nobody wanted to talk about anything. What was happening there? Nobody wanted to talk.
So he was just crying, wailing.
And then the security men were also going up and down, trying to bring some form of order at the hospital, because it was like every place was rowdy.
But we didn't expect any misbehavior of any kind, because it's a solemn time, it's a time of mourning, and well, we don't know what might have happened with the presence of security, because we are all mourning, and nobody's expected to do anything, untoward, anything violent.
Yes. Okay. The place was just, I would say it was rowdy, but I'm sure by now it might have been brought under control.
And were still many people there when you were leaving?
Yes, there were many people, and many people were still coming. There were many.
Thank you very much, Yvonne. That was our correspondent, Yvonne Atilegu. She was at 37. News of the president's death hit the country this afternoon. Many are in a state of shock and sorrow. Radio Ghana spoke to some Ghanaians who expressed worry about the loss.
I'm surprised to hear this thing. I don't think, in fact, I'm surprised. Very, very well.
If this will happen, so how am I going to live in Ghana?
But I mean, I don't believe it until it's proof.
I'm just hearing it from a colleague, but I'm not believing it because I've not heard it on the radio.
This is very sad news. Regardless of your political affiliation, regardless of whatever you believe in politically, whether you disagree or agree with him, I think this is a very sad day for all of us as Ghanaians. When I heard it, my knee-jerk reaction was that this cannot be true.
But I think it's actually dead, and I think there's a need for you to worry because there can't be a country
without a leader.
It's unfortunate. We have lost a good man who can help the nation to go on, and we have lost it. So I think it calls for how to sit and think about
it.
I feel very sad for the man. I'm very, very sad this evening when I heard the news. This man talked with passion. I felt very, very, I feel very, very sad this evening.
Wallahi gaskiya abin ya mun ci yo. Ya tada hankali ne sosai. Ko da yake dai mun san bai da lafiya, amma ba mu sa mishi kamar ya mutu wannan lokaci ba. Gaskiya ya taba mu sosai sosai kuwa. Kuma ina tsammani shine wani shugaba kuma farkon shugaba da yake kan sarauta. Allah ya karbi. It was a big shock to me, Odisha.
Those were views of some Ghanaians on the death of the president, the sudden death of the president. We now have on the line our presidential correspondent, Sethi Yasef.
Sally.
Yes, I wonder how this has come to you. Of all media persons, you are the presidential correspondent. I mean, the national presidential correspondent for that matter. And I saw you this afternoon. I saw you. You were happy, hale and hearty. I was coming to work. You were going. I wonder, how are you feeling now, Seth?
Well, Mercy, the news hits me like a tsunami. And I couldn't believe myself when I heard the news because the release had come out that the president was traveling to Nigeria for a day's visit. No little did I know that in the morning he was rushed to the 37 military hospital and the unfortunate, you know, happened. It has not been easy for we, the members of the presidential press corps, because this is a president who came across to us as someone who understands our work, you know, always advised us to make sure that we reported only the truth and nothing but the truth. He is someone who also came across, you know, as a modest person, and everything that the president did, you know, or told us, you know, bordered on modesty. He was such a friendly president to most of we, the members of the presidential press corps. Whenever we entered his office, he would first welcome us, and before we greeted him, and after he had responded to our greetings, he will, you know, pass a comment that will, you know, engulf all of us, and then all of us will engage the President of the Republic of Ghana in a friendly conversation. He saw us as colleagues, not a master and servant situation. That was the kind of president that we, the members of the press corps, you know, had worked with. Just this Friday, last week Friday, we were in his office, you know, it was a day before his 68th birthday. We presented him with a birthday card with messages and signatures of some members of the presidential press corps, an office, some of the staff over here. The president was so happy, it was unexpected, and could not hide, you know, his joy that, you know, we at least we have also remembered him on his 68th birthday. Sally, the news is all over. I can't describe how I am feeling because I was hit like a bullet. I couldn't just know what to do at that moment. Sometimes I momentarily forget, you know, myself, and well, the feeling is indescribable, Sally. You can't believe what's happening. Even the military officers here are all crying. Some of the BNI officials, we see soldiers, policemen, individuals, they're all crying. Before even I left the house, Sally, I could see or I saw people openly wailing. I was so shocked that Ghanaians loved President Mills so much. People were openly weeping. Men, women. And over here, Sally, everybody's head is down. But everybody is shocked. And even to solicit for information is really very difficult. As we speak, even the director of communication, who we normally, whenever we come here, we go to him, is locked up in his room, not coming out. Everybody is shocked. And there's some sort of solemnness all over the seat of the president.
Well, thank you so much, Tethia, for talking to us. God will console all of us. It's very difficult, but we'll go through. Thank you so much, Seth. We now bring you a biography of President Mills.
President John Evans Atta Mills was born on the 21st of July 1944 at Takwa in the Western Region. After his secondary education at Achimota School, he studied law at the University of Ghana. He continued to the London School of Economics and Political Science and the University of London School of Oriental and African Studies, completing his PhD dissertation on taxation and economic development. On his return to Ghana, he taught law at the University of Ghana, where he remained for some 25 years. He also served on numerous boards and committees, occasionally acting as a visiting professor in the United States and the Netherlands. President Mills eventually left academia to establish a distinguished career in public service. In 1988, he was appointed Acting Commissioner of Ghana's Internal Revenue Service, and he eventually became the Substantive Commissioner in 1993. He stood as President Jerry Rawlings' running mate under the banner of the NDC in 1996. They were victorious, and Mills took office on January 7, 1997 as Vice President, a post he held until 2001. President Mills was the candidate for the presidency in the 2000 and 2004 elections, but he was not successful. He was again the NDC candidate for the presidency in 2008 and campaigned with the slogan, "I believe in Ghana." This time round, his persistence and determination paid off. On January 7, 2009, he was officially sworn in as president of Ghana. In July last year, the NDC again elected him to be the candidate for the party in this December elections. He was challenged in the primaries by the former First Lady, Nana Akunedu Ajuman Rawlings, and that was the first time that a sitting president was challenged by a member of his party. President Mills was a staunch Christian, as is heard in this message given to the Adenta branch of the ICGC.
I want to urge each and every one of us to continue along these lines. and also not to forget to pray for our dear nation. I'm convinced that God has a special place in his heart for this dear nation of ours. However, there are certain conditions that we need to fulfill. We need to show God our gratitude. And how do we do it? It's all found in his word. But let me end by saying that sometimes we human beings make the mistake of thinking that whatever power we have is greater than God. It can never be greater than God. A servant can never be greater than the master.
Last Friday, President Mills performed his last official assignment when he swore in a deputy commissioner of Shraj.
I'd like to congratulate you on your appointment. Your work is clear cut, and I have no doubt that if you continue to work as a team, there's nothing that you cannot achieve. The people of Ghana are looking up to you and have every right to look up to you. We as government will give you the necessary support, but at the end of the day, everything depends on you and your colleagues. And therefore, wish you well. May God guide you.
Saturday, the president celebrated his 68th birthday.
That was a biography of President Mills.